Okay, I've discovered something which I think will be very, very handy and useful to people. You remember in the news when all the xenophobic stuff was going on? People were very worried about if their domestic worker was from another country, for example, whether they had their papers, whether they were going to get into trouble. Did you also have lots of people asking you about that?
Yeah, and people were worried, of course, about being fined a lot of money.
Yeah, right. And you know, domestic workers are such a part of everybody's life in South Africa. It used to be something that was a very middle-class concern, but even relatively poor people in South Africa sometimes have a domestic worker to help them with the kids, the cooking, the cleaning. I mean, you've got people who live in very small places in quite poor parts of the country who still have a domestic worker. So it's now a kind of South African universal. I think it's one of the biggest categories of employment in the whole country as well. We'll talk about that with an expert in a second. But there's a guy called Peter Adolfs, and I'm sure you've heard of AskMandla.com. You heard about it?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, you have. You see, you're very well informed, Leanne. Well, I also knew about this probably, I don't know, a couple of months ago I found out about it. But AskMandla does an amazing thing. It digitizes contracts, helps you with payroll processing, compliance, and leave management for your domestic worker, which is tremendous because it helps you to formalize and get all those documents in order so you know what's going on, so that you can't have some labor inspector or whatever pitch up at your house and say, oh, but you haven't paid your UIF this month and now we're going to, I don't know, fine you 100,000 rand, like you said, or put you in jail or whatever. So Pete has managed to figure out for us all of this stuff and he's made our lives a lot easier. So I'm very happy to have him on this morning. Hello, Pete. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you? How are you all doing?
Very, very well. I'm sorry you had to sit through those ridiculous would you rather polls just now.
Well, I'm just glad you didn't ask me about my grandmother, so thanks so much.
Yeah, no, don't worry. We're not going to put you in that position. All right, so AskMandla.com. I just love this. It really is. This is the kind of fintech stroke tech solution that South Africa really needs. And I want to know how it all started. So maybe we should begin there. Is when did you see this gap and decide, hey, I know how to solve these problems. I know how to help people figure this stuff out. Because there are so many people who are confused. They're terrified of getting it wrong. It's a major issue in South Africa.
Yeah, thanks, Gareth. Look, I can't claim to have been the one to spot the gap. I think what actually happened was my now partner, Janine Cairn-Berman, and her husband, they put an app together that was trying to solve the contract problem within the labor mm-hmm. market. And she was trying to put herself in lots of places. You know, she's just one person. And they ran into some trouble. And I'd actually just come out of, I ran the Moller safety app for a long time. And I just finished up there. I'd ran that for about 10 years. And I was actually going to go on a sabbatical. I was like, I just want to take some time off and I just want to go and see what the world has to offer. I'm not rushing. I don't want to rush into anything. And then another mate of mine, Sam, said, no, look, you need to go chat to these guys. They're having problems with their app. Because I know, obviously off the back of that, I know tech. I know how to sort of scale businesses
sure.
to an extent. And had a chat to Janine and the and Roger and you know, the light bulb just went poof. I was like, guys, this is bigger than what you're doing right here. We've got a massive opportunity to change people's lives. And I love impact businesses. I love solving. Well, I love this country and I want us to be able to live here, right? I tell people this all the time. And I love being involved in businesses and, you know, that do something about it. So this just struck a chord with me. But I said to them, look, we can't do this in an app, because if you think about it, domestic workers don't download applications, right? What they do is they chat on WhatsApp. You know, and they obviously they're data conscious and all of those things. So I said, we've got to do something that obviously, you know, targets them where they're at. WhatsApp is the place. So that's how we went with a WhatsApp first solution that is actually, I know you introed us as sort of the payroll compliance HR, which is, yes, 100%, the foundation of everything.
Listen, forgive me. I mean, that's the most boring intro. That's not what you guys are all about. But, but you know, when it comes to solving those problems, you absolutely do that.
100%. That's exactly what it's all about. You know, it's laying that foundation, because These guys have been, so we estimate there's about 100 billion rand worth of cash flowing through the informal sector through domestic workers' salaries on an annual basis, which is phenomenal. And none of that is seeing, you know, coming into the formal sector. And we like, well, this is, we got to do something about this. But at the same time, how do you bring these guys in and create financial inclusion? And that's where we're heading. It's all the stuff, that's what really excites me, the stuff that we're going to do once we get these guys contracted, paying UIF, Koida, all of those things.
So you hit on a couple of things there. First of all, I know a couple of people who are similar to you. They do well in one business and they go, I'm going to take a sabbatical. It never happens, right? There's always something that pulls you in. People like you are obviously just so driven that you cannot keep yourself quiet for more than a month. So I'm not surprised that happened. The other thing that's worth just reflecting on briefly is the size of the domestic worker economy, if you want to call it that. Because as I said in the introduction, there are millions of households in South Africa who are entirely dependent on domestic workers to do so many of the things that make it possible for the other people in that household to do the work that they do, right? So do we have any idea of the numbers of domestic workers in South Africa?
So it varies. I mean, the official stats will put it about 800, just about 800,000. But, you know, like I think we saw exactly what you mentioned with, you know, all the unrest and the marches and all that stuff. Like those numbers are closer to over a million. We reckon about 1.6 is the total addressable market that we potentially have.
Sure.
So those numbers are big. And then the scary stat for me is actually that how informal these relationships are. You know, these are people that are in our homes every day. They are taking care of our children. You know, they help us, you know, keep our lives running. And, you know, everybody treats them like family. But at the same time, you know, we think that's taking care of them, but it's really not, right?
Yeah.
Only 12% of these guys have got UIF as an example. You know, so if one day something happens, you leave, you move somewhere, you go overseas, whatever the case may be, they sit there suddenly without a job and with nothing to fall back on. So it's a pretty sad situation.
Yeah, there's such a lack of job security when it comes to domestic workers. And there is nothing worse than that fear every day of not knowing that your job is secure when you are entrusted with providing essentially security to a family, to children, to pets, to a home.
Don't forget, Leanne, they also know what's going on in your underwear drawer, which nobody else does.
That's why you've got to be very, very careful.
So, okay, let's talk about the conversations that you've had with employers and employees and how those have influenced the way that you've changed Ask Mandla, because I'm sure you're constantly, you know, upgrading and recalibrating and figuring out new challenges in this part of the economy, which up to now has been, as you put it, totally informal.
100%. So I think, you know, we've learned so much. You know, we started out, and don't get me wrong, I'm making it sound like we're super old. I mean, we're a new business. We only started in you know, March, April last year.
Right.
But, you know, we started out, well, the things we knew we wanted to do, we wanted to make this stuff super easy. Because, you know, all this compliance stuff is hard. Registering for things like UIF on portals that are broken, it's, you know, all this stuff is super difficult, right? And we wanted to make it super easy and have it all happen within a very clever WhatsApp chat. So it's all conversational within a WhatsApp bot. And then we wanted to make it super cheap as well. But you know what we also very quickly found out was that nobody wakes up in the morning and goes, jeepers, I need to sort out compliance and I want to buy compliance, because it's just, it's not a thing, right? And we were like, we went out there going, you know, everybody's going to want this. Everybody wants to go and register their domestic for all these things. And we quickly realized that there are phenomenal employers in this country, and then there are some really horrible ones as well. And, you know, and we're focusing on the really good ones that want to do something about it. But we've got two markets here, right? We've got an employer who's paying us a subscription for the service, the payroll stuff, the compliance stuff. But the opportunity really lies in what we actually want to do at the end of the day, which is uplift these guys. And that's where the real learnings came in. It's how do we you know, truly help these guys. And yes, look, part of the package as it currently stands is the valuable part that a domestic worker gets at the end of the day is this payslip, a record that they have employment, which they get to take to a bank and open an account and get a loan and get rental and things that we take for granted on an everyday basis. These guys finally have the proof to do, because you can think like traditionally, like, you know, we'd go and they'd come and ask you, can we have a payslip because I need to go do this? And then you got to go put something together. Difficult. That's all sort of done. But the real value lies in, and what we've just recently started, well, I said in April, we launched a thing called Earned Wage Access, which was really, really cool for these guys. It's the first step in the direction of where we ultimately heading in this financial inclusion model that we're trying to build for domestic workers. And that is products that they wouldn't traditionally have access to because of the constraints they work in, you know, no payslips, you know, very small income, et cetera. Right. And Earned Wage Access is a basket and it's sort of a test bed for us to see how we can start building sort of financial models and profiles for these guys. So it gives them the opportunity to get access to, you know, some of their salary early in a month, right? So traditionally they get paid on the 25th. Suddenly we've opened the door to, they send Mandla a WhatsApp and go, how's it? I need $500. I need some school shoes, whatever the case may be. And the system automatically goes and checks that, you know, everything's in order. It comes back and within 24 hours, they've got cash in their account before payday. And that just gets deducted off their payslip.
So, well, I mean, let me tell you, that's so much safer than going to a Mashonisa and, you know, being charged like 50% interest a month on what you've borrowed, because that's what happens. And, you know, if you don't have access to finance in a tight situation, that can be life or death for some people.
100%. And it's scary to see. I think the scary part is how much of that we see. I mean, we've created a platform and an environment where guys can come and ask the most basic questions, you know, within reason, within their own language, get responses that they understand. And the questions like that are coming through. It's like, you know, I need to go get a loan and this is what the guy wants to charge me. Is that right? Or, you know, I've got an employer who's paying me X and is that legal? And very quickly they're getting a response from within a guided environment that goes, no, that's not right. This is, you're being exploited. You know, minimum wage is X, you know, so it's just really lucky to see guys able to come to a place where safe, curated, getting information that they need and stuff that they haven't had access to previously.
Trust. You can't buy that. You can't buy that kind of trust. And once you guys, and I'm sure you're already finding this, you're establishing yourselves as somewhere that people can go where they feel, you know, that they will be taken seriously, that there is somebody listening, they can get good advice that's objective. It isn't, you know, colored by the associations of the people that you're asking those questions to. And this is, again, an example of where technology is making life a lot easier, smoother, better, and more clear than it's been before.
100%. So, Leanne, you wanted to say something. I don't want to interrupt your...
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
you know, just I interrupt her all the time. Don't worry.
It's where I find it interesting is where you have a domestic worker, say, once a week, and all of a sudden you think, well, I don't really need to worry about UIF. It's only once a week. I don't have to really worry about this. It's only once a week. Am I really putting a contract together for once a week? But those once a weeks add up. And I think if you get together with the other employees, maybe there are two or three of them, and work together to create a solid contract and UIF and all of that, then it really helps. Because those, I think, are the domestic workers who really battle when it comes to UIF and work security. They're continuously finding somebody to fill that one day a week because something happened.
100%. I mean, so the legislation is clear though, and like, I don't want to get into these, you know, sort of nitty gritty technicalities, but anything over 24 hours a month is, you know, you're required to do the, you know, you're required to register them, you're required to have a contract and all of that stuff. But I think, you know, getting back to sort of the, you know, what we've learned is the education around this stuff is really massive. And we found that you know, guys, they do want to do the right thing, but it's so hard. And like, Gareth, I actually listened to, you know, in prep for this chat, I went to obviously mm-hmm. had to listen to a couple of the podcasts, and that's the chat you had with sure. Munya was really cool, man. And the stuff that he's doing around that sort of education is exactly what we are aspiring and trying to do within reason. And it's the stuff that we need to do both with the employers and employees, because at the end of the day, the employers don't want to, they want to do the right thing. They don't know how. Employees yeah. don't actually know what their rights are. So they, you know, they sit in the situation where they just accept being potentially exploited to a certain extent because they just don't know any better. So, we're putting out a whole bunch of content, and we have to do quite a bit of heavy lifting because, like I said, you know, people don't go out every day trying to buy compliance. So, you know, getting sure. them to understand what the requirements are and making it easy and short form, kind of bite-sized chunks, like, you know, like Munya's doing a great job of, I think is the right way of going about it. So just creating this environment for these guys.
Well, also, I mean, it's worth saying too that on the other side of the equation, so many employers are terrified of doing the wrong thing and ending up at the CCMA or whatever else because they haven't dotted the I's and crossed the T's. So if you can provide clarity to them, that's also a very valuable service on that side of the equation, which I think would put a lot of people's minds at ease because, as we've discussed already, these people are in your life, and it would be stupid of you to just regard that as, you know, we had a conversation about this, I don't know, 6 years ago in January, and we decided this is how we're going to manage things. You can't do that. You wouldn't do it in your workplace, even for somebody who's, you know, just the office cleaner. You wouldn't do that. So you need to be similarly dutiful and careful around the management of this economic relationship, even if they are a member of the family or whatever people say.
Yeah, exactly. We call them a family member, but I don't see family members normally getting payslips. So, you know, this is something that guys need to just be wary of, you know, is that, you know, regardless of whether or not today you've got a contract in place, you are still bound by, you know, the labor regulations. The right thing to do is just to get that thing in place, which is not so super simple because, you know, again, that whole contracting process within our system specifically happens through a WhatsApp chat. So you literally chat to the bot, give it your information, it goes and fetches and chats to the employee and gets their information, dates it, presents it to you guys, and you sign it through the WhatsApp chat. So it's a simple, really, really easy process. But what that does, like you rightly just said, is it just, if things go south or if you happen to have to retrench because you're moving away, everything is clear and everybody knows where they stand, like you have at work.
Right.
You know, you don't go into that relationship and not have those things sorted out because it just, you know, it can land you in trouble. The other one to follow on from that one is that guys don't understand either is that, you know, COIDA is a real thing. So the disability fund is a real thing that domestic workers can go and claim from, right? And you are liable for that thing, whether or not you've been contributing either way. So if they get injured at work, they can go and claim from that fund and it'll pay for their expenses and the time off and their medical bills. And then if you haven't been contributing and paying, and I don't want to use this as a scare tactic because this is not the point of this conversation, but at the end of the day, you as the employer are liable if that person was injured in your home. And that's a scary thing. You don't want to have that happen. So just, you know, having these things in an easy way to sort out and then contributing in the right way, you know, that's the foundation that we're trying to lay in order to then, once that stuff's sorted out and it's back of mind and you know it's being taken care of and you're sorting out a small fee every month for it to get done, then there's so many cool things that we're going to add on top of that, starting with the EWA. Then we're going to go, then like my gardener came to me last week and he goes, listen, I've got a really bad toothache. Sorry, I'm late today. And I'm like, dude, don't worry about it. Just let Munda know that you need some leave and it's all tracked and you can go home.
Right.
And, you know, the way that they sort that out is they take a pull. And like, you can't just take a pull. You've got to go to the dentist and they can't afford to go to the dentist. So like the next train that we're on is, how do we get some form of affordable medical aid, preferably that the employers can chip in to make sure that the guys are covered so that they're not losing a day of work because they don't have to worry about that either. Because they don't have to go and like, now sit in a queue at the clinic you know, it's just something that gets taken care of. So those are the things that we want to do. Micro insurance, micro loans, things that are affordable, that are easier, that the guys are taken care of. They rock up at your house, they're happy, they know they're sorted, and they're not worrying about how they're going to put food on the table at the end of the day, because, you know, they have access to things that are taken for granted in other you know, levels.
Well, listen, I think this is amazing. I put this screenshot up, and maybe you can just take us through what this is, because this is really, really handy. This is just from, this is a screenshot from your homepage, but this gives people an idea of how you actually help people break it down. You know, here's your gross pay, here's your UIF contribution, here's what you might have taken out earlier as a kind of a loan on future earnings. But this is how you break it down for people. And this comes out on WhatsApp, right?
Exactly. So education. You know, we're just trying to show guys, like, so there's your, you know, there's your, the gross income, what they've earned to date, what they're liable, what, you know, what you and they are liable for. So it's 1% on either side for both parties that to pay towards UIF. We can have a whole nother conversation about UIF and the complexities around there. And then, you know, and then, yeah, so whether they've taken a bit of early, so EWA, so earned wages. And then, like you rightly put, the things that we think would be valuable at the end of the day, not all of these are there yet. These are all part of the roadmap where we think things are going. But things like, you know, funeral cover, loans. I mean, so the fantastic, and you should, the really heartwarming thing is these, like, domestic workers want to do the right thing. And we get asked for they'll come to us and listen, why don't you just every month just hold 500 Rand off that salary for me and give it to me in December. And that's amazing. But that's as far as they know from a financial education perspective, as far as to go. Because they're like, sure, you know, I'm going to have that for the end of the year. Christmas, I can sort myself out for next year for school. I'm sorted for the school kids. But then you start thinking, like, guys, why aren't we putting that into something that's going to earn you a bit of interest? You know, that's like, and explaining to them, look, if you put this in here, this is what the outcome at the end of the day is going to be. And you know, that's how, you know, we love trying to help the guys.
I think it's amazing. Obviously, people can go along to askmandla.com and you can find out more over there. But I'm really happy we got to meet you this morning, Pete, and we'll be talking about this a little more on future episodes of this show. I just think it's such a part of South African life, and we pay very little attention, and therefore we have sleepless nights over what if and maybe and could happen, will happen, does happen. Instead of all that concern, you can start getting yourself together, making all of this a little more structured, and have the peace of mind, for heaven's sake. It just makes perfect sense to me.
Exactly. Guys, we think it's the right way to go, and it's good. It's been great chatting to you, and we look forward to having lots more conversations
around
it. It's
amazing to see you. Yeah, thanks so much, and lovely to meet you, Pete. We'll check in with you soon.
Thanks, Gareth. Thanks, Leanne.
Great stuff. Yeah, I mean, you know, these domestic workers are not just people who do the stuff around the house that you don't want to do. They are, Janine calls hers the chief operating officer, like head of operations in the house, you know, because that's really what it is. If you think about your house as being a business, who is the one that tells you, oh, you know, we need to get more washing powder or whatever? You don't know that unless somebody tells you. So they're performing a managerial and administrative function as well as doing the stuff, right?
Yeah, I know there's so much to it. And things are difficult to track. It is that, please, can I be paid an extra 500 Rand before the end of the month? Sick leave. It's difficult to keep track. What percentage UIF? How many days of the week were worked this week? It's like, it's a lot.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to have to get James a domestic worker contract now because he hasn't got one of those. So, you know, that's what we're going to have to do on the show.
His likelihood of succumbing to injury on the job is very low, though. I mean, let's face it.
Well, you know, falling off your own chair, that's a regular it's a regular problem for him. Oh, listen. Oh, Leanne, I've got something to show you. Oh. This is the most disturbing thing that's come up on my feed on Instagram in the last couple of days. And I knew I had to share this with you and with the sick people in our audience. So don't ask me what it is. I didn't look into it or go to the page where they make other stuff or any of the this just came up and it, I was obsessed, but in a like not good way. I was like, oh my God, that's so disgusting. But the song got stuck in my head and I kept playing and I sent it to a whole lot of people I know. I saved it for you though, for the show today. Are you ready?
I hope so.
Okay, I want to hear your comments straight after.
Only one bowl from the meat bucket, please.
Ew, I don't want it.
Andrea, meat buckets today. Hairy, pink, and moist with a rotten meat bouquet. One pull, one pull.
Only one. No. Is that how long it was?
That's all. That's all it was.
I did not give my brain time to adjust.
Okay, here, second time.
Only one pull from the meat bucket, please.
Ew, I don't want it.
Andrea, meat buckets today. Hairy, pink, and moist with a rotten meat bouquet. One pull, one pull.
Only one. No, no, still too much. Computer says no.
Only one pull from the meat bucket, please.
I don't know if it's like the shaved pubes sticking to around the mouth because he'd been in the meat bucket. Or if it was the actual broiling of the meat of suspicious origins, but I'm feeling a little bit nauseous.
Bitcoin Boot, is that Naledi Pandor? Carl DeSantos says that's my most awkward erection ever. Only one pull from the meat bucket, please.
I'm literally so nauseous.
So I'm thinking of for my birthday next year, we'll have a party, but it'll be only meat buckets. What do you think?
All
right. Listen, you're a big fan of Bill Gates. You've always been a massive supporter of his. So apparently he is sounding an alarm on AI. And because we pay attention to AI on this show, everyone in the world is paying attention to AI. What does Bill Gates have to say? I'm more suspicious of him than you are.
So I like to hear what people are saying about AI. Uh-huh. I like to hear the different opinions. I obviously won't necessarily listen to it. And also you've got to now remember his age. Like, where does he fall in generationally? Is he at the point of maybe not accepting AI to the point that younger people will be? But he has come out, the latest thing that he has said in an essay is that AI will either be the greatest equalizer ever invented or the worst source of injustice. And it depends on what human actions are being undertaken right now. He's saying on the current course and speed, there's a very high chance of a net negative outcome.
Well, you see, the point with him is he's...
I don't know if it's just me, but I cannot hear you anymore.
Sorry. Bill Gates is not an idiot. He's involved in the tech world. He invests very heavily in all of the latest things that are going on. So he's not a fool. He's just got it wrong so many times. And I think he's got a bit of a megalomania going on as well. I don't disagree with him on this, by the way. I'm not one of these eternal AI is going to solve all of our problems, perfect optimism. I'm not one of those people. But I do think there are dangers. It poses dangers. Once these systems, these models can think faster than humans and improve themselves better than we can, then you do enter a world where suddenly it goes beyond us being able to pull it back. You know, I mean, if you have, for example, a model which has a measurable IQ, and you can test the IQ of a machine just like you can with a human, of like 200, then there's no human on Earth that's going to be able to keep up with that. So eventually we hand over more and more responsibility to AI systems, and before you know it, you don't have any way of pulling it back. That should worry all of us. And Bill Gates, as much as he's a creepy weirdo who visited Epstein's Island way too much, and like his ex-wife, Melinda, they've got the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Apparently, she just doesn't even talk to him. She finds him completely like off-putting and gross.
She's out of it.
Yeah, but he makes a point here that it's worth paying attention when somebody like Bill Gates says something, I suppose.
So he wants to do what is your pet peeve, Gareth, and that's calling for government to get involved. So he's saying we need coordinated policies across national security, employment, education, taxation, and health.
Bring in the guys. Bring in the guys who fucked up everything else to try and regulate AI. I mean, this would be again government. The minute you get government involved, it just makes things 10 times worse. It doesn't make it better. You could have a totally competent government. Imagine Helen Ziller is put in charge of this. I'm going to find at least 10 to 20 things that I completely disagree with Helen Ziller about. But by the time I've brought them up, she's already made it law. And then she's deciding for everyone else. I don't think that's right either. That makes me very nervous. So yeah, Bill Gates, again, makes a valid point, but then chooses the wrong instrument to bring about the change that he thinks is necessary. Please, and if you think, by the way, if you're a big Donald Trump fan and you reckon that the Donald Trump administration would make the right decision, just remember that in a couple of years' time, you could have a different administration run by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and then she's deciding completely different things, controlling that whole system, except that she's the one who's making the rules. I don't trust politicians. I don't want them in charge. Speaking of politicians, did you see this week the guy who's in charge of traditional leaders, or he's a spokesperson for traditional leaders, and he said all politicians are, quote, bloody liars. That's what he called them. Traditional leaders. So even they are starting to go, you know what? I'd rather have a tribal chief than have a elected ANC comrade Keda.
Yeah. In this case, bizarre. Yes.
Yeah. Bill Gates, according to Kyle, believes wealthy nations should completely transition to 100% synthetic or plant-based beef to combat climate change. What a load of crap. Yeah, you see, he's full of crappy ideas. Doesn't mean you don't listen to him. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. And Bill Gates, he's been right a little more than a broken clock. But by no means should we let someone like that make the rules. Do you remember he was one of the big COVID protagonists in the beginning? And he's got money invested in companies that make a profit out of people being sick and needing medicines and needing. And I don't trust the guy. I mean, he's also bought up a ton of farmland in America, which makes me very, very nervous.
Is he throwing cows on that farmland? One wonders.
I don't know, but you know, often you can tell if someone is just a bullshit person, because they don't do what they want you to do. So they say you should do this thing, but then they themselves don't do it. You know, oh, you should use government schools for your kids, and meanwhile they send their kids to private school. Oh, no, public health care is great, because I would send my children. Meanwhile, they're sending their wife and kids to the private hospital when something goes wrong. I don't trust people like that, and Bill Gates is one of those guys. But maybe he is. Maybe he's farming cows, and maybe we can rely on him for the meat buckets. What do you think?
Oh, no.
Only one pull from the meat bucket, please.
Ew, I don't want it.
Andrea, meat buckets today. Hairy, pink, and moist with a rotten meat bouquet. One pull. Only one.
A rotten meat bouquet.
Yes, come on. What's wrong with you? You're just like Bill Gates. You're a buzzkill. All right. Do you want to go and start your day and get on with your actual work?
Yeah, might have to visit the loo on the way.
And remember, Leanne, only one pull from the meat bucket, please.
Okay, got it. All right. Thanks.
Very important. And please, I love the way in that there's this horrible creature, but it says, please, only one pull from the meat bucket, please. Okay. Now you know.
So polite.
All right, we'll check in with you in a couple of days. Have an awesome weekend.
You too. Bye.
Ciao, ass. Bye.